Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday night shiur for Parshas Devarim. Tonight's shiur is being presented in on the occasion of the yard site of Sasha Henny Bas Henoch, mother of Hadley Bach, the Shalom Shalom and Aliyah. I got the name right? Yeah. Okay. Okay. This Shabbos, of course, is actually Tisha B'Av. We don't observe the fast until Sunday. We call this Shabbos the Shabbos Chazon. And I'd like to speak for the most part about Yerushalayim, which of course comes to our attention on Tisha B'Av. Normally we spend much of the time thinking on Tisha B'Av about the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, but of course that included Churban Yerushalayim as well. And I'd like to look at something about Yerushalayim, which is to some extent independent, although obviously related to the Beis HaMikdash, which we should focus on as we approach Tisha B'Av. Just have to mute. Thank you. Now, the point of departure, though, is a pasuk here in Parshas Devarim. Parshas Devarim is always read on the Shabbos immediately prior to Tisha B'Av. We already caught up to we don't have to worry about that topic. This is true in Eretz Yisrael. And here,
Pedro, I think you're not on mute.
Yeah. Okay, I think now we got it. One minute. Okay. Anyway. So Parsha Devarim was always read in the Shabbos immediately prior to Teshuvah. And towards the beginning of the Parsha, the first source, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav, Hashem Elokeinu Dibar Eleinu B'Chorev Le'emor, Rav Lechem Sheves B'Har Hazeh. This is right after they came out of Mitzrayim. They were at Har Sinai. Obviously, this is before the Chet HaMeraglim. Moshe is recounting, right? Moshe is describing. Chumash Devarim is Moshe's final series of speeches to the Bnei Yisrael, starting a little before his death. So he mentions Hashem told us, Hashem Elokeinu Dibar Eleinu B'Chorev, Hashem told us at Har Chored, at Har Sinai, that's Har Sinai. Enough hanging around this mountain. Our Sinai, it's time to move into Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Zayin, Pnu Sulachem Uvo Har Hamori, Kol Shechinov. Go into the land occupied by the Amori and by others. And then it says Ba'arava Bahar Uvashvela Uvanegev Uvchof Hayam. Different climate zones, different areas in Eretz Yisrael. Ba'arava means the plains. And according to Rashi, it means like wooded plains, forest, Bahar, the mountain, Vishvela, and low-lying areas. But Negev, in the south, the desert in the south. Uvchof Hayam, by the shore. Eretz HaKnani, and so on and so forth. Eretz Yisrael. And Pasuches, Reina, Satelech Nechemes Oretz. I'm giving you this whole land. Bo, Rishuas Oretz, come in and inherit the land that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were promised, and so on. So several different zones are mentioned. Several different areas or types of land are mentioned. And the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Pei Aleph and Beis in Source 2 says, "Ein lach ve'ein lach kol sheva sheva Yisrael she'ein lo bahar uvashvela uvanegev uvemek." Every shevet, when they divided up the land, every shevet got land which included these four different descriptions: a mountainous area, and a low-lying area, and a sort of like perhaps a desert or a drier area, emek, a valley area, right? Shenemar, and it quotes this pasuk, "Pnu sulachem," etc. And the Gemara says, because this is the way it was in Eretz Yisrael when the Canaanim and the Perizzim were there. They had all these areas also. Just interesting as a side point, if you've ever seen been to Eretz Yisrael and you've seen in the newspaper or maybe online or seen on a weather forecast. So the weather forecast in Eretz Yisrael, there are like six or seven different areas, which have very, very different temperature forecasts and rain forecasts, right? If you're looking in Yerushalayim in the area, it's going to be this and this. And Tel Aviv in that area, it's like that. And Haifa, it's like this. And Tzfat, like that. And Eilat's like that. You have like, very different forecasts, sometimes significant differences. Then you stop and think about it. Eretz Yisrael is about the size of New Jersey, right? Even smaller. So we don't have I'm not saying there aren't, degrees, maybe a little warmer or colder here than in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, whatever. It's not like a vastly different weather forecast. They're not like 9 or 10 different temperate zones in this area, but in Eretz Yisrael, that's the reality. So the Gemara says, the inhabitants of Pri, that's what Rashi points out there in Baba Kama Pe'al from Basin Source 3, right? It only mentions Amori, but the Kanani, the Pri, they all had this these different types of areas. And so too, in Eretz Yisrael, there were these different types of areas, okay? Marshall points out in the Chiddush HaGadol there in Baba Kama Pe'al from Basin Source number 4, the Pasuk actually doesn't mention Emek. The Gemara mentions Emek as one of the areas. Look back in Source 2. And Emek is not mentioned in the Pasuk. Okay, so that's what the Marshal suggests. That's what the Pasuk mentions. Chof Hayam, right? The Emek doesn't do valley by mountains, but a lower lying area. Okay, fine. It's a technical question. Tosas there, Mabakama Payal, Mezumasa, Ein Lachon 5, points out that it seems to be a little bit of a different presentation in the Gemara and Baba Basra. Afkuf Chav Beis Amar Aleph, when they were talking about the Chalukah on the distribution of the land in Eretz Yisrael. You know, it took 7 years. We know from Sefer Yehoshua, it took 7 years to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua. But then it took another 7 years, 7 years of kibush, and then it was 7 years of chilukah. It took another 7 years to divvy up the land. Well, it took another 7 years to divvy up the land. The answer is not so simple. You know, people are going to complain. I don't want to live on this area. I like this, you know, this real estate is more valuable to me. And another guy likes another area better. And there were all kinds of machinations. How did it work out? Dinei Torah, you know, it worked out properly that everybody got all the shvatim, and then within the shvatim, all the people got. So it's interesting. They got something suitable for them. The Tosus points out there, Baba Kama Pe'al Beis, the Gemara Baba Basra, says, Ein lecha kol echad echad mi Yisrael. We have the text in Baba Kama Pe'al Beis, Ein lecha kol shevet shevet. Every shevet had these four different zones. The Gemara Baba Basra, as Tosus points out, seems to say, and I printed the Gemara Baba Basra, source 6, Kuf Chav Beis Van Alam, says at least the Olam Haba. Different types of fields. In this world, you got field type A, you didn't get field type B. Then the guy got field type B, you didn't get field type A. But Olam Haba, everybody gets a little bit of everything. Okay, exactly how that works. I mean, Begershim and Baba Basra, by the way, has a different gear, so he does mention the word, he doesn't mention Amek at all. Okay, which is, you know, more parallel to the Pasuk. And Tosfos and Baba Basra, on that daffin, Kuchav Beis Manav, and source number 8 says it seems to be a contradiction in the Baba Kama, because there it says only the Shevet, here it says the people, or it says the difference between Olam Abda and Olam Abba. Somehow, Olam Abba, everyone will have a taste of everything. Okay, as the Tosus ends there in 8, Baba Basra, Kuchav Beis Manav, Zumas, Olam Azeh, Tosus says, Abba Olam Abba, Yesho Minakol Shir Shav, everyone gets an equal share, and so on. Okay, now the Chiddush HaRitva there, Baba Basra, also raises that problem in Kufchav Beis Manalav, Odom Sheish Pardes. He says, what do you mean? I thought everybody got all these different types of lands. How could you say a person got type field type A, not field type B? But again, okay, that's in Olam HaZeh, it's each Shevet, Olam HaBa, every person. Okay, what difference does it make where you got? So we know, you know, what's the, you know, the different types of land are different in terms of what they produce. So for example, the Gemara Psachim, Nun Gimel Manalav, source number 10, the Torah may point this out. Tanya b'shungam lel omer simin laharim milim. On the mountain, you have this in this type of vegetation that grows. Simin la'amakim in the lower lying areas, they call them day palms, right? By the coast, and they, like in Florida and all these kind of places, in these more tropical zones, you have day palm trees. Simin la'nechalim by the streams, you have konim, you know, the reeds. And similar shrela, shikmar, shikmar, other areas that have sycamore trees. In other words, there are different types of plants and vegetation that grow in different areas. And that's how Rashi explains. In certain types of trees that grow in one area, don't grow in an area. I'm sorry, I don't throw her any often. The mountains have certain types of trees go very well in a mountainous range, in an area, mountainous range. Other types of trees don't go well in a mountainous range. So again, there are differences. And the Nafkamina, that's the Torah there about bringing Bikurim, okay, it has to be from the higher quality type of stuff. Okay, certain types of things produce fruits, some don't produce fruits. In Gemara and Kedushin, and of Mem Beis Man Aleph in source 13, the Gemara is looking for a source for the concept of Zochin La'adam Shalom B'fonav. We have a principle. Usually, I can only perform an act on behalf of somebody else if the person appoints me as a shliach. I can act as an agent for somebody else. He has a certain way to appoint me as an agent. But we do have a principle that Zochin La'adam Shalom B'fonav, that you can do something beneficial for somebody even if he didn't appoint you as an agent. Let's say a guy comes and says the neighbor won $1 million. But he's not home. Will you sign for him? Otherwise, we have to move on to somebody else. So that's considered to be a zechus. So I can sign for him, even though he didn't ask me to be his agent. Again, that's how that works. But the Gemara wanted to know, where does that come from? So the pasuk last week said, Parashas Maaseh, when it talked about taka, the distribution of land in Eretz Yisrael, it says in Perek Lamed Daled, remember, pasuk Yerches, Nosi Achad, Mata, Tikochu, Linchol Esaret, Tikochu, Likol, Linchol Esaret. The Nesiim of each Shevet, they had the right to divvy up the land as they saw fit and so on. And the Gemara in Kedushin, Mem Beis Amud Aleph, says maybe that's the source. You can do something beneficial, even though the people didn't appoint the Nasi to do this. But then the Gemara rejected that by saying, what do you mean? That's not necessarily Zchus. Okay, why? Our purpose is the second line of 13, Gemara Kedushin on base of the Iko Denichale Bahar, the Lonichale Bibikov, Iko Denichale Bibikov, the Lonichale Bahar. Some people would rather live in a valley area, some people would rather live on a mountain. So the fact that Nassim divided up, well, wasn't automatically schus, so that's not the source of that principle. But again, for our purpose, what we see is that there are different types of lands and different types of people, different strokes of different folks that we have today. Some people like to live in the city. Some people like to live in the suburbs. Some people like to live out in the countryside. Some people like to live up in the mountains. People are different. So you had different different things. And again, the Sifrei and the Sedra Ekev describes Eretz Yisrael. Dvar and Perek Yudalef, Pasuk Yudalef describes Eretz Yisrael. So the Sifrei on that Pasuk, in Pesach, Lamed Tes, and that Pasuk Yudalef says, Eretz Harimu calls, Magid Shalosh Shobu Tam Peros Har, the Tom Paris Bika, even the fruits don't taste the same. The fruits that grow in this temperate zone don't taste the same as the fruits that grow in the other temperate zone. All of us have probably been to other countries, some of them have been to Eretz Yisrael, and we know some of the same fruits don't taste the same. I mean, go to the supermarket, how many different types of apples there? Probably a dozen different types of apples. There's Macintosh apples and Granny Smith apples and green apples and lady apple, all kinds of different apples, right? You know, they're apples, but they come from different places. They're going to taste different. So it's important to understand that people like different things, and therefore there were four different areas that each shevet got these four different types of areas. The Balaturim, and last week said in Parshas Maaseh, again, in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Nun Dalet, the Balaturim points out, you find the form of the verb to inherit, Nachala, Nun Ches Lamed, four times in that Pasuk. Perek Lamed Aleph, Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Nun Dalet, 16. It's Nachal Temes Aret, Begaral Mishkosem, that's one. Larav Tarbo is Nachloso, that's two. Lamed Tamid is Nachloso, that's three. That's four times. The Balaturim points out, why does it have the went to word Nachla? There in Parshas Maaseh and Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Nun Dalet. Why did it say Nachla? Four times. Okay, now, but there is something else about the land and Eretz Yisrael aside from the four different zones. Because the truth of it is, how did you work it out? And then the Gemara there in Baba Basra, in that same daf that we saw before, Kuf Chav Beis Amin Aleph in 19, the Gemara says, how did they work it out? I mean, some people had a taina. I don't like this land. I don't like that land. So they were dinei Torah and they were financial. Sometimes a person was compensated with money when he didn't necessarily get the land that he wanted. That's a simple reading of that Gemara, at least in the according to one opinion, right? Because the Pasuk says, it was all done in Parshas Pinchas 2 weeks ago. It says in Bamidbar, Parakhav, Pasuk Nun Vav 18, it says, Al Pia Goral, Techalei Kanachal Asor, right? It was divvied up by some kind of a lottery system, which was assisted by the Urim and Tumim and so on, but it was divine. So what if somebody wasn't happy? So the Gemara says in Baba Basu, Kuf Chav Beit Rav 19, Vav Tanya, Belon Itzchalke, Ela Bekesef, right? The people give money because after all, there's aside from what we mentioned before, the difference in the fruits and the difference in the area and so on. Amar Bihuda saw Bihuda Shaveh Chomei saw in Begalil. You can have a parcel of land in Yehuda, it's one parcel, but it's worth five of the same parcels in the Galil, right? What are the three things you look for in real estate? Location, location, and location. Well, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying over here. That's true in there too. So, and the Gemara there brings up Krova and Rechoka. We ended up by quoting Baba Basa, Kuchav Beis Malav, El Le Krova Rechoka. So, the Rashbam, there's no Rash in that part of Baba Basra. The Rashbam, Kuchav Beis Malav Baba Basra, says, the beginning, he thought it was money. Kasalka Daita Chashta, Misha Elo Chelek Yofa, someone who got a better parcel of land had to compensate with money. Okay, and the Gemara at the end says, it's talking about far and near. Far and near what? Look at the last Rashi on 20. There in Baba Basra, Kuchav Beis Malav, the Krovel or Choka. Ha Karkos, Hayu Chokin Bishove. Okay, Misha Elo Kech, Men Akochosh Notel Yoser. That you didn't get monetary compensation. You just got more land. If your land was not as productive, so you got a bigger parcel land, and the other guy's land was better quality land. Okay. But then, Avo Mishal Gorla Bekar of Lirushalayim, Mala Mos Mishal Gorla Bekar Richuk Mishalayim. If that was compensated monetarily, if you got land closer to Yerushalayim, so then Take, you're in good shape. You're closer to Yerushalayim. The person was further than Yerushalayim had to get compensated for it. What do you see from there? And the Rashi explains because of the Beis HaMikdash and so on and various other concerns. But for our purposes now, you see that that's probably still true today. The closer you are to Yerushalayim, the more expensive things are. No? I mean, in Yerushalayim, it's incredibly expensive. Right? Some of you may have heard of Usher Weishlit, who was here in our community a couple of weeks ago. He was kibitzing about something. So he mentioned, you know, winning the lottery, winning $100 million. So he's trying to say, you know, But what would I do if I had $100 million? My life wouldn't change so much. But he said, I'll try and buy apartments for my children. I'm not sure if $100 million would be enough. That's what he said. But the Maaseh said that the price of Yerushalayim, we know what it is, right? But that's what the Gemara tells us, that the closer to Yerushalayim you were, so the better off you were. Therefore, you have to financially compensate the people's land was further from Yerushalayim. So not only the different climate or temperate zones in terms of fruits, but also proximity to Yerushalayim is extremely important. So now the question becomes, well, what about Yerushalayim itself? What about the land and the property in Yerushalayim itself? That must be the most valuable real estate. No, that's the most valuable. You're in Yerushalayim. I'm not talking about today, but I'm talking about, the time of the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. That would seem that that's the most profitable, the most valuable real estate around. What's interesting is it's not so poshut, because as we'll see in a moment, it's not so clear that the people in Yerushalayim actually owned the land in Yerushalayim. What do we mean? So what shevet was Yerushalayim in? So here we have the following. You look in Yehoshua, Perek Yud Beis, verse 21. So there the Navi Yehoshua, the Pesukim Yehoshua, list the 31 kings that were conquered in Eretz Yisrael by Yehoshua and his armies. Pesuk Zayin, Ve'elam Malchei Eretz, and so on. Pesuk Yud, Melech Yerushalayim. There was a king, there was a place called Yerushalayim before the Jews got there. So one of the conquered kings was Yerushalayim. So where did that land up, and whose territory did that land up? So you look in Yehoshua, Perek Tezvah, verse 22. Here are the boundaries. The second half of Sefer Yehoshua is not that exciting to learn because there's a lot of boundaries, names of cities and areas and territories and so on. But it mentions that the boundaries of the tribe of Bnei Yehuda, so it went from here to the other place, and Pasuk Ches, V'ola Hagul Geven Hinnom, the Hinnom Valley, those who've been to Shalom, we know, right? That's the valley, on the bottom, so to speak, of the old city where they have now like a concert hall. They have concerts there, right, in that valley between the old city, and you go up to the windmill, right? That area. That's called Gei Ben Hinnom. That's what it's talking about here. El Kesav Yevusim Negev Hei Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is mentioned within the boundaries of Shevet Yehuda. And it tells you, and then it mentions much later in that parak, Tezvah, Pesach Samah Gimel, the end of 22, Ves HaYevusi Yosh Yerushalayim Lo Yuchlu, or Lo Yuchlu, B'nei Yehuda Lo Horisham. The B'nei Yehuda couldn't drive out the Yevusi. That's one of the seven nations. They were unsuccessful in driving them entirely out of Yerushalayim. And they stayed there by Yeshua Yevusi, B'nei Yehuda Yerushalayim Adi Omazem. Okay, later on, David HaMelech changed that. But for the time being, when they conquered the land under Yehoshua, the B'nei Yehuda couldn't get rid of the Yevusi. They lived in Yerushalayim entirely. But in any event, what do you see? Yerushalayim was part of the territory of Yehuda. But yet, a couple of prokem later, in Yehoshua Perek Yud Ches, 23, Yehoshua Perek Yud Ches, here is the territory of Binyamin. Bain Bnei Yehuda, Bain Bnei Yosef, was in between Yehuda and Yosef. So look what it says in Tezayin, Pesuk Tezayin, Yeshua, Perek Yud Ches 23. V'yar Hagvul, El Ketzei Ahar, Asher Bnei Gei Ben Hinnom, same thing. Asher Be'emek Rephaim. Oh, we know that too, if you've been to Yerushalayim, right? Emek Rephaim is that street there that has all the shops and restaurants, right? The Emek Rephaim on the way to, to Katamon and the German colony and so on. So Emek Rephaim, yeah. Okay, and we are gay and so on. And in Pasuk Chafal, Behayu Ha'orim, Lamate Ben Rechoshoz, and Richo Beschog Be'emek Kitzitz, and Pasuk Chafches mentions Yerushalayim. So it sounds like Yerushalayim was somehow in the Shevet of Binyamin and also the Shevet of Yehuda. By the way, the Pasuk I quoted in 24, Shoftim, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Chafal, says the B'nai Binyamin had no more success in getting rid of the Yevusi either. And so Yevusi, Yosher Yerushalayim, Lo Horishu B'nai Binyamin. Okay, anyway, what we have here is apparently Yerushalayim, part of it was part of Shevet Yehuda, and part of it was Shevet Binyamin. Some of the border kind of went through the city. Okay, it was part in Binyamin, part in Yehuda. Okay, we can live with that. All right, but what's interesting is that there is a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Beis Malach. The simple reading of the Pesukim is that Yerushalayim was somehow in the territory partly of Binyamin. Basically, if you look at the boundaries, to the, from Yerushalayim traveling westward, that was Binyamin, and from Yerushalayim traveling eastward, that was Yehuda. Right, you go from Yerushalayim to Yericho, you pass through Midbar Yehuda, right, the Judean desert. But anyway, that's how Yerushalayim is kind of split between these two Shvatim. All right, so far so good. But using Warren Yuma, which discusses the following, the Pasuk of Parshas Mitzora, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Lama Gimel Lama Dalet, we know that according to the Torah, a house can develop what's called Nigei Batim, a form of Tzaraas. That's why the Tzaraas is not an fully accurate translation of leprosy, because leprosy is a medical condition, and houses don't get leprosy. Okay, but houses could get negoim. Houses could get nigei batim. The house had discoloration on the walls, maybe mold, whatever it may be. But the Gemara, the pasuk says in Mitzora, Vayikra Perek Gedal, pasuk Gedal, ki savol eretz kana she'ano anino selechem la'achuzo, v'nosati nega tzaras v'eis eretz achuzaschem. You can get tzaras in the houses in the land which you are holding on to, which you grab hold of. So the Gemara says, nu yud beis on 26, v'tanya achuzaschem. We learn from that word achuzaschem, the last part in Perek Gedal, pasuk Lamedalad, achuzaschem mitama b'negoim, ve'en Yerushalayim mitama b'negoim. No, a house in Yerushalayim is not subject to the dinim of tzaras habayis, of nigei batim. And why? Because it says achuzaschem. Rashi explains there in Yom Yud Beis, 27, ve'en Yerushalayim mitama b'negoim, she'en achuzo ahem. It's not grabbed, not held onto by anybody. Kosovar lo nischalka l'shev Yehuda ben Yamin, ela kol ashvatim shavim bo. It did not belong to either Yehuda or Binyamin. Everybody had an equal share in Yerushalayim. That's what it says. Now, Amar Yehuda, back in the Gemara, Anilo Shamati, Elamakom Mikdash Bavad. Now, my tradition is the site of the Beis HaMikdash, that part of Yerushalayim, which is overall not the big part of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, that was not divided up into any one or two Shvatim. That was not owned by any Shade, but not Yerushalayim. Okay, as Rashi explains, because of an Ischakal Shvatim. No, Yerushalayim was divvied up. Now, Yehuda got this part of Yerushalayim, Binyamin got that part of Yerushalayim. The site of the Beis HaMikdash proper, that wasn't divided up. And the Gemara says, B'mai Kamiflagi, Satana Kama, Sovar, second line 26, Yerushalayim lo Ischakal Shvatim. Yehuda, Sovar, Yerushalayim Ischakal Shvatim. That's a historical question. Was Yerushalayim divided up, meaning, you know, Binyamin got part and Yehuda got part? Well, no, really, Yerushalayim wasn't divided up at all. Binyamin and Yehuda, neither of them got any part. Yerushalayim was, a city that belonged to everybody equally. Again, Rabbi Yehuda said that was true about the Beis HaMikdash, that he acknowledged, but not about Yerushalayim proper. And that's the Machlokas. Uveplukta the Hani Tanoim, and the Machlokas other Tanoim. The Tanya Mahaya Bechelko Shel Yehuda, what was in Yehuda's section? The Harabayas, the Lishkos, the Hazaros, right? The offices, the Shachos, the Hazaros, certain offices, certain courtyards in the Beis HaMikdash, that was in Yehuda's area. Umahaya Bechelko Shel Binyamin, Ulam Behechel Beit Kodesh HaKadoshim, a strip of land kind of jutted out from Yehuda's territory to Binyamin's territory, and that's where the Mizbeach was. Okay? And then the Medrash Gemara goes on, quoting a Midrashic idea that Binyamin Hatzadik, Binyamin, you know, for the son of Yaakov, you know, Binyamin, according to the Gemara, one place, one of only four people who never did an Avera, never sinned. So Binyamin Hatzadik, I mean, story, he felt bad. He wanted the Mizbeach in his area. And eventually it happened, as the Pasuk says, I printed in Source 18, the Pasuk is also Brocha. Perek Lamed Gimel Dvar Pasuk Yudbez, Binyamin Omar, Yedid Hashem Yishkon, Ovet Chalav Chofev Alav Kol Hayom, he wanted it all day, Uvein Kseifal Shachar. So Kodesh Baruch Hu rested the Shechina, Mizbeach in the territory of Binyamin. Anyway, that's, according to that view, Yerushalayim is Chal Kodeshvotim, because parts of Yehud and Binyamin, and parts of Yerushalayim are owned by Yehud and parts of Binyamin. But the other time it says no. The last lines of source 26, that same Gemara Yuma Yud Beis Ma'al, the high tonus of Yerushalayim alone is Chal Kodeshvotim. Netanya, Ein Maskirin Batim Yerushalayim. You can't rent out territory. You can't rent out apartments in your houses in Yerushalayim. You know why? Because they belong to you. Okay, Ein Maskirin Batim Yerushalayim. Lefi She'en Shalahem. Okay, and Rosh Tzedek said, or Rosh Shimon said, Aflo Mitos, their beds, you don't own the area. That's not going to do much to the hotel business in Yerushalayim today, but that's what this Gemara says. You can't rent out a place in Yerushalayim. Okay, and that's why when the Gemara concludes, Oros Kodshim, you know, when the people came to Yerushalayim and had to stay somewhere, they would pay by giving, and we couldn't really collect rents, they would give them the skins from the carbonous animals and so on and so forth. Okay, but in any event, what emerges from that Gemara is that Yerushalayim, according to Machlokas, whether Yerushalayim is Chalkal Shvatim or Lo Nischalkal Shvatim. Was it divided up like other areas in Eretz Yisrael? Yehuda got some of it, Binyamin got some of it? No. It really didn't belong to either Yehuda or Binyamin. So that's that Machlokas, as we saw over there. One opinion says, yeah, it was divided up. The other said, no, it wasn't. And that's why you can't rent property in Yerushalayim to somebody else. That's the Gemara in Yuma. 29, Baba Kama Pei Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Asara Dvarim Nemar Yerushalayim. There are 10 dinim about Yerushalayim. One, Ein Abayis Cholot Ba. And that's a technical point. Rashi explains the din in Parshas Bahar, printed in Source 31, by Yikra Perak Chaf Halav, Sukkim Chaf Tesam Lamed. If you sell a house in Eretz Yisrael in a walled city, you have a year to sort of buy it back. Right? You have a year if you and a family member can buy it back. right? Atom shnas min kor yomim tia gulosa. You can redeem it, so to speak, and buy it back. You had to sell it because you ran out of money, whatever, you need the cash, but then some relative helps out, whatever, you can buy it back within a year. But after that, that's it. Then it stays in the place of the purchaser and doesn't even go out in the yovel. That din, says the Gemara, does not apply in Yerushalayim. It's not applying in Yerushalayim. One. Two. Ve'ena mevi'a egla rufa. We all know if a corpse is found, you have to measure the closest city. Okay, that's the Pesach and Parsha Shoftim. Parak Chafalav, starting Pesach off 32. Ki motze chalav adam, you figure out after that, the Pesach, which says you have to measure to the closest city, that Yerushalayim is not in the mix. Yerushalayim is not included. Ve'ein nasas irani dachas. Third thing, we talked about last week. Yerushalayim can't become an irani dachas. That's in Parsha Re'ei, in Source 33. Parak Yud Gimel Advarim. Pesach Yud Gimel Yudala. Ki sishma b'chas arecha, you hear? Yotzu anashim b'nei b'liyal mikirecha, right? And unfortunately, unscrupulous people managed to convince all the city to serve a Avodah Zarah. You have to wipe out the whole city. That, Rabosai, does not apply in Yerushalayim either. We saw that already, right? It doesn't become not eligible for Taraz. All these, and it mentions other things. You can't build certain types of balconies and other types of things. It also mentions Ein Malin and Basames. You don't let a dead body stay overnight in Yerushalayim. Many people observe, the religious people, observant people still observe that today in Yerushalayim. I've been to a funeral in Yerushalayim at midnight. My father's buried at 9 o'clock at night. Like I always like to point out, my mother, Lashon, died on Erev Rosh Hashanah years ago, on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And it was too late in the day to bury an Erev Rosh Hashanah. It was in the afternoon. So it ended up, Rosh Hashanah was a Wednesday night that year. So she died on Wednesday. So Thursday and Friday, Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos and Shabbos Shuvah, and then we didn't bury it until Sunday, 4 days later. My father died in Yerushalayim. He was buried 4 hours later. Okay, you're in Yerushalayim. They don't delay. They're buried right away, even at night. Anyway, so these are all dinim in Bava Kama, Pei Beis Mevaleh. And in each case, the Gemara explains based on Psukim why that is. So, for example, why don't the rules of Bata Arichoma apply in Yerushalayim? Because the Gemara says Lo Nischal Kol Shvatim, it doesn't belong to any one tribe anyway. So you can't say I can buy it back in a year, and if I don't buy it back, it stays with the other guy. No, in Yerushalayim, you don't own it anyhow. And in other cases, it all mentions. You look in 32, it says Aretz Asher Ba'adam Asher Hashem Lekecha Nosein Lecha Lerishta. The rules of Erinidach of Eged Rufa only apply in a place where you're inheriting, and that's not true by Yerushalayim. You don't own it, and Yerushalayim Lo Nischal Kol Shvatim. Irene Dachas, it says in the Psukim Parshas Re'eh in 33, Perikim Gimel Pasukim Gimel Dvarim, Kisishma Bachas Orecha, your city. So all these things exclude Yerushalayim because Gemara says several times there, Yerushalayim Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided up. So this Gemara clearly, the Gemara here in Bava Kama Beis, does not present that in the Machlokas. So apparently the Gemara is assuming that Lahalacha we hold Yerushalayim Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. And indeed, that is how the Rambam passes. Look at Source 34. Hilchos Beis Abachira, Parag Zayin Alach Yud Dalad, 34. First, he says Yerushalayim is Mekudeshes Mishar Ayaros Mekavim Mekavus Choma. Yerushalayim is a higher level of Kedusha than other cities. Shochim Kodshim Kalim. Certain Karbonis meat, some meat from Karbonis you can only eat in the Beis Hamikdash. Other meat from Karbonis, Shlomim, for example, you could eat in the whole Yerushalayim. Also, Maaseh Sheni, you can eat anywhere in Yerushalayim. Okay, good. And then the Rambam lists off these 10 things. Ve'elu Dvarim Shem Yerushalayim, Ein Malinim Asameis. And all these different things that the Gemara mentions. And the Rambam says at the end there of Parak Zion, of Hilchos Beis Mechira, Hilchos Beis Mechira, look at the end of 34, the Rambam says, because Lefi Shalo Nischal Kol Shvatim. So that's how the Rambam passed, Shalayim Lo Nischal Kol Shvatim. He says it again. Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Parak Dada, Hilchos Dada, 35, by Avodah Zarah, by Irnei Dachas, below Yerushalayim Nasir Irnei Dachas, Lefi Shalo Nischal Kol Shvatim. So it's clear, the Rambam passed. Hilchos Rotzeach, by Egla Rufa, Perak Tesach Vilchus Otzeach Halachadala 37. She'ein Yerushalayim of Egla Rufa, Lefi Shalom Nischal Kol Shvatim. The Nemar Ba'adam Ashar Shem Lekecha Nosein Lechol Rishcha. So the Rambam paskins across the board. Yerushalayim Lo Nischal Kol Shvatim. Binyamin didn't own it. Yehuda didn't own it. And so that's what emerges from there. Now, what about the Psukim in Sefer Yehoshua? We saw the Psukim. The Psukim listed Yerushalayim, part of it in the Shevet Yehuda, part of the Shevet Binyamin. But the Rambam apparently is not concerned with that. Okay. And the Paskins, like that, Mandamar, like the Pashat, like the, again, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud Beis, we saw back in Source 26 Yud Beis, went off the Machlokas. But the Gemara in Bava Kama, Pei Beis and Beis, the Gemara assumes, Lonis Chalkal Shvat, and that's how the Rambam says. Now, there's a comment in Masechas of Avos Dov Nosim, one of the so called minor tractates. Avos Rav Nosson is, it's not really Gemara, it's not Mishnah, it's the Brises. It's kind of an expansion in some ways of Pirkei Avos. So anyway, in Avos Rav Nosson, Parak Lamed Hey, I printed 39, the Avos Rav Nosson is dealing with two contradictory psukim in Parshas Re'eh, Dvar and Parak Yud Beis, I printed 38. Look at Pasuk Hey, referring to the place which Hashem shall choose, Mikol Shivtechem. Because we're going to choose a place, that's great. Yerushalayim, by the way, is never mentioned in the Torah by name. It says Melech Shalem we have in Bereishit, but Yerushalayim is mentioned many, many times, hundreds of times in Tanakh, but never in the Torah. Okay, always talks about the places Hashem shall choose. But the point is, it says here, Mokom HaShivchar Hashem Elokechem, Mikol Shivtechem. What do you mean, Mikol? It belongs to all your people, all your tribes. It doesn't belong to any one tribe. Mikol Shivtechem. You know, in some ways, it's like Washington, D.C., right? I mean, Washington, D.C. is near Maryland, near Virginia, in between Maryland and Virginia, but it doesn't belong to either state. It's a separate area, D.C., District of Columbia, right? So that's what that's like. So on the other hand, there's a pasuk in the same section, right? Just a few pasukim later, pasuk Yodalot of Perek Yud Beis in 38. Kim ba'mokom ha'shivcha Hashem ba'chad shvatecha. Ba'chad shvatecha. It'll belong, or at least part of it will belong to one tribe. So the Avos Rav Nosson in Perek Lamed Hey in 39 notes this theory, okay? And says, what's the idea? On the one hand, you have a pasuk, so it kind of says, well, be'echad shvatecha zu shevet Yehuda b'nyamin, right? And that's referring to part of Yerushalayim belongs to Shevet Yehuda, part to Shevet Yehuda. But mikol shivtechem zu Yerushalayim shakol Yisrael sutfin bo. Everybody is a partnership in Yerushalayim. Everybody jointly owns Yerushalayim, no one. And then it goes on to say, what, you know, now the Avos Rav Nosson doesn't really solve the problem. It simply points out, in some respects, maybe it was like part of Binyamin Yehuda, but everybody had a share. Shakol Yisrael, Shutfin Bo. Okay, so maybe that's where the Rambam was tipped off to Paskin, the Yerushalayim alone is Chalk L'Shvatim, because of this Avos Rav Nosson, Mikol Shivtechem, Yerushalayim, Shakol Yisrael, Shutfin Bo. It doesn't belong to Yehuda, it doesn't belong to Binyamin, it's Kol Yisrael, Shutfin Bo. Okay, the problem is, there's a Gemara in Zvachim, Nun Gimel Beis going over to Nun Dalal 40. Gemara there is talking about the Mizbeach. Now, just by way of introduction, the Mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash was a square, like a box, and then it had a bigger box, and on top of that was a slightly smaller box, and on top of that a slightly smaller box, right? There were different levels of the Mizbeach. Okay, so the bottom part, the bottom base is called the Yesod, which means the base. That was the big box that was on the ground, okay? So the Gemara says, in fact, source 40, Svachim, Nun Gimel Beis, the Karen Mizrachis Dromis, the southeastern wall or a southeastern side of the Mizbeach, Lo Hoyalo Yesod, did not have the Yesod of the base, did not extend further out. Because in all other directions, the Yesod extended further out from the box that was on top of it, so to speak. Except on the southeastern side, it was straight down. There was no bigger box. Why? My time, why in the world? So Rav Elezer says, because that area had the Mizbeach had to be in a very fixed area. The Rambam says also, Mizbeach mechuvenes yadamot. It had to be in a very fixed area. So they knew where they had to build the Mizbeach. But if they would have built the base a larger, all four directions, that part of the base would have been in the lot in the El Chalek of the Toref. Who's the Toref? So Rashi there in Zochim and Gimel Beis 41. Says my time will have a soul because the Torah is Binyamin. Because the Pasuk says in Bereishis, the Brochas of Yaakov, you know, Bereishis Perk Memtes, Pasuk of Zion and Parish Vaichia, written in 43, Binyamin Zaev Yitrof, right? He'll grab his prey. So he's called the Torah. So it was not in the Chelek of Binyamin. So that's why they shortened the base, as it were, of the Mizbeach. So none of it will protrude. Remember, we said earlier, a strip of land from Yehuda kind of jutted in a way, to the territory of Binyamin. But they didn't want to put the Mizbeach. They should not be in any, in any part of it should be in Yehuda. Okay, and that's how the Gemara says here, right? Otherwise, Mizbeach Ocha Bechelkos Yehuda Amo would have taken an Amo's worth in the area of Yehuda. And it says about that strip of land and so on. Binyamin cried because he wanted the whole thing. Okay, we saw that already. So in any event, I have a question. If we paskin, as the Rambam did, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, so what's the difference? What do you mean it was part of it was Yehuda's territory? It wasn't Yehuda's territory, it wasn't Binyamin's either. Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim anyhow. So what's the concern? The Gemara tells us, as a matter of fact, it's a fact that the Mizbeach, the southeastern side of the Mizbeach. And it's a nafkamina where you sprinkle the dam. If you look in Perek Ezel Makoman, something we say every morning, you put the matanos of dam on this side of the Mizbeach, on that side of the Mizbeach, can I get how you soak? Anyway, the point is, if we have a factual statement that the southeastern corner of the base of the Mizbeach and the base Hamikdash did not protrude because it was otherwise it would have been in the territory of Yehuda. What do you mean the territory of Yehuda? It's not Yehuda's territory, and it's not Binyamin's territory. It's Lonis Chalkul Shvatim. So what's going on here? Okay, not my kasha. It's Tosas kasha. Tosas on that daf in Yuma Yud Beis and Aleph, the Divrei HaMaskil 44. The Divrei HaMaskil Yerushalayim Lonis Chalkul Shvatim. Says Tosas, wait a minute. If you believe Yerushalayim Lonis Chalkul Shvatim, we saw the Rambam passing that way, based on the Gemara Yuma Pebeis and the Ovis of Nosim. So Tema, Perkeis and Mekomen, what about the Gemara Zvachim? The Karen Jones Zvachim, what do you mean? Im Kain, Laman, the Armor, Lonis Chalka, Maishna, the Shama comes with a Chayla and Misoda, or Mizrach is drawn with Chayla and Misoda. Well, what's the difference? Right? Every part can have a base. It's not really Yehuda's territory, it's not really Binyamin's territory. Okay? So they learn out that they had a, at the end, there's one territory which he rejects, but at the end he says, V'yesh Loma, guess what? You're right. It's nothing to do with that. Hachi Gemiri. Bottom line is, Tosa says, we'll accept Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Literally. Aye, so why didn't the southeastern side of the Mizbeach have a Yisod? Gemiri, it's a tradition. And they had a tradition. And it quotes a Pasuk Divrei Yomim, I printed it, Divrei Yomim Aleph, Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Yutes, regarding the Beis HaMikdash when Shlomo built it in 45, and David and Shlomo, Hakol b'chsav miyad Hashem alai hiskil, Kol Malachos Hatavnis. Every detail about the building of the Mizbeach just was a divine directive. So for some reason, the southeastern side has no Yisod. Okay. Bottom line is, Tosas is insistent that we're going to take Yerushalayim on Shvatim. Literally, it did not belong to you, it did not belong to Benjamin. And the fact that this side didn't have a Yisod, even though the Gemara gives that reason, so the Gemara was only according to one Mando. According to the other Mando, it's not that reason. It's because of some tradition. It was the Gemiri, right? It was a Hakol B'Chsav. It was given by, not me, Halacha Moshe Sinai, but, Halacha David, or whatever, L'Shlomo. Okay, it was some type of a divine directive. Okay, bottom line is the Tosas can stick to his guns and can say, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. The problem is, okay, well, it's not a problem, but the Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaMechira, Perek Beis HaLacha Yud 46, the Rambam says, he paskins this way, Yisod HaMizbeach lo haya makiv ma'aburu chosov. The base of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mizbeach, rather, did not go all the way around, like we said. They went only in three directions, and he says at the end, V'keren dromos mizach, lo haya lo yisod. Now, I, the Rambam Paskin, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. So, you could answer the way Tosas answered. Yeah, that was an oral tradition, but the Rambam didn't say that. You would have expected the Rambam to say that. There was some type of tradition. And the Kesef Mishnah, there in that Rambam, Hilchos Beis Mechira, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud, 47, Kesef Mishnah learns like the simple reading of the Gemara, that it wasn't there because you didn't want it to be in the area of Yehuda. Well, that's a problem, because the Rambam Paskin, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. And the Kesef Mishnah is surely aware of that. Okay? So how can the Kesef Mishnah say then that the Rambam's concern in Paskin like this Gemara, the Rambam doesn't say like Tosas said, there was some type of a divine directive not to make the Yisod, the base of Mizbeach, extend on that side. Nothing to do with, according to Tosas, nothing to do with the Yehuda and Binyamin. That was a divine directive. But the Kesef Mishnah, certainly the way the Kesef Mishnah learns the Rambam, that's not what the Rambam's saying. And I would say it's Pashup Shat, that the Rambam's like the Kesef Mishnah, because he doesn't say that it was some type of a tradition or some type of a directive like that. So now we have a little bit of a steer it, because the Rambam Paskins, Yerushalayim, Lo Nischalka L'shvatim. So what talk is the concern? So Rashi brings up something else. On that Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Dalad, which we saw back in Source 38, which says, Bachad Shvatecha, right? Rashi says, look in 48, Bechalko Shul Binyamin, okay. But he points out the same problem. Lamala Omer Mikol Shivtechem. You know, that obviously Rav Nosson, right? It has to be Yerushalayim is Mikol Shivtechem. Okay, so he gives an answer. Kishekona David as Hagorin, may Aravna, how you pronounce his name, different places, different time. Aravna Hayavusi, Gova Hazav Mikol Ashvatim. Mikol Makom Hagorin, Bechelto Shul Binyamin Haya. I think Rashi might be giving two answers here. He says, the first answer is Kishekona David, when David HaMelech bought the area from the Yavusi, Aravna, Aravna, different places, his name is identified slightly differently, but Aravna Yavusi, he took money and bought it with money that came from Mikol HaShvatim. So the money to purchase that area came from all the Shvatim, therefore all the Shvatim have what? an equal chelik in it, because the money was collected from everybody. What Rashi may be saying here is that Enochanami, maybe originally Yerushalayim was yes nischalkel shvatim, okay, yes nischalkel shvatim, but later on David HaMelech, when he bought the area, kind of repurchased or reacquired it, so to speak, on behalf of everybody. So that's how you could possibly resolve the situation according to the Rambam. The Rambam will say lo nischalkel shvatim ultimately, but originally, that's what I said, mokom agorim mechalkel shbinyamin haya. Originally it was in the chelek of Binyamin, right? I mean, originally it was. Okay, and then when they built the Mizbech, they didn't want it to be in a part of Yehuda. By now, it was already purchased, but originally, and that's because you can split your, you know, split decision here. You can say originally it was Nischalkel Shvatim, and that accounted for the, you know, Mizbech, and it was in the Chelek of Binyamin, the Chelek that Binyamin had gotten. By that time, David had already bought it using community funds, and now it belonged to everybody. But that's what it means. It was the Chelek of Binyamin, so they didn't build the Mizbech that far out. That's how you could get out. See, Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos, no, Yerushalayim was loan is chalkos vatim at all, period. Doesn't bring up any other stuff. According to this Rashi, okay, I'll suggest Rashi may mean something else at the end, but we'll hold off on that for the second. You look in the Sifsei Chacham, on that Rashi in Parshas A, Thor and Perek Yudal, Pusik Yudal, Oz Samach, in the Sifsei Chacham in 49. He says, let's look at the second line, Veli Nira, okay, well, he says loan is chalkos vatim at all, Shil, that's something else, that was the Mizrahi, but he says, Li Nira, Filim Adam Yerushalayim is chalkos vatim, Mokom base hamikdash har bechalkos binyamin afshar Yerushalayim knows chalkos. See, it's very interesting. He says something counterintuitive, and we'll see. I don't think others say like that. He says the base of the base hamikdash was in Binyamin's chalek. The city itself wasn't split up. What he may be saying, I think, okay, because otherwise it flies in the face of another Gemara, which we'll see in a second. But maybe this is what Rashi meant too at the end. He was saying territorially it was in the chalek of Binyamin, but they didn't own it. That's what it means. It's a little different than what I was saying before. Before I was saying, originally it was yes, Nischalkel Shvatim, and then, David bought it, and lo Nischalkel Shvatim anymore. But now we're saying maybe, and this is what the Sitzach Chacham says, I don't know if it's Rashi, but you could read it in Rashi too. The Sitzach Chacham is saying, no, it was never Nischalkel Shvatim. When we describe, and then you can ask, but what about, like I said before, what about the Psukim in Sefer Yehoshua? Yeah, in that area, that zone was Binyamin's zone. It's true, they didn't own it. You can have an area that you don't own, even though it's in that territory, right? You don't own. I mean, on the world scene, an embassy is owned by the country whose embassy it is. It's a world-recognized concept, right? So if I go into the United States Embassy in Yerushalayim or in China or anywhere else, so it's American territory. And here too, the other way around. All right, because it's in the United States. It's in the embassy in Washington, D.C., the embassy is in Yerushalayim. Now it's in Yerushalayim, right? The embassy is in Yerushalayim. But if you walk in there, it's American law, right? If you're born there, you're considered to be a naturally born American citizen, and vice versa. So in that sense, maybe that's what the Sechon, I don't know if you read the Rashi, but that's what the Sechon says. That's another kind of a third opinion, so to speak. Tosfos says, lo nischalkel shvatim at all. Then others say that, no, it was nischalkel shvatim in the sense of territorial, but not in the sense of ownership. And the middle position maybe was originally Ischakel Shvatim, then bought over. There's a Sefer, source 50, Masal HaMelech, which a commentator in the Rambam from the, his name was Zilberstein, not the Zosim Yerushalayim now, maybe relative, I don't know, he's in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So in that Rambam, in Hilchos Beis HaMechira, Parag Zayin, Hilchid Dalet, is bothered by this. In 50, same question, Od Kosher, because the Rambam talks about the Mizbeach. What do you mean? If there's a problem with the Yisod of the Mizbeach sticking into the Shevi Yehuda, that means you hold lo nischalkel shvatim because you said it's part of Yehuda. But the Rambam posits nischalkel shvatim. So he says, gives the terrors we gave before, 50, l'chein nir l'yashar l'omad esfil al arbeinu d'chule alma Yerushalayim t'chila nischalkel shvatim d'binyamin. Okay? Originally it was given out k'shecholak Yehoshua sa'aretz, like the Pesukim Yehoshua say, that was originally. Let's remember, the Pesukim Yehoshua are several hundred years before David and Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash with those community funds. So for a few hundred years, yeah, that's what he says. Then eventually, the Bnei Yehuda, he says at the end, the Bnei Yehuda, Hifkiru Chalkam, L'chol Yisrael. As a side point, if we hold Lo Nischalkel Shvatim, the Gemara said that you can't rent that territory. Here's a possible fourth or an additional idea of what does it mean, Lo Nischalkel Shvatim. Okay? The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chav Vav Aleph, has the same thing about the 10 things about Yerushalayim. So there in Megillah, when it says, Ein Maskirin, you can't rent out property in Yerushalayim, because it's not your property. It says, what does it mean? Look at 51. Ein maskirin balabatim es batayim la'olei regalim, ela b'chinam nos lahem. Who are we talking about? The Ole Regalim. That's the Chiddush Ritva there in Yuma, not original Gemara. You base on who says the Hadim Hashem of High Tana. It means the Tanya Ein Maskirin Batim Yerushalayim or Batim Yerushalayim Pirshla Ole Regalim. Meaning Yerushalayim is yes, this Chalkol Shvatim. Yehuda owns it. Binyamin owns it. Special din for certain things. For Ole Regalim doesn't mean anybody wants to move and they doesn't have to live in a hotel or have to rent. Ole Regalim, a special dispensation, 3 times a year when Ole Regalim came. That's all, but not any other time. Okay, and that's how it says also in the Sefer Kaftar of Aferah, which is one of the late Rishonim, Rishonim Haparchi, has a collection of dinim about Eretz Yisrael called Sefer Kaftar of Aferah and Perak Vav. He writes, that's not true nowadays. Because it was the, when you could pay them with your skin from the karbonas and so on. That's a special, not today. So, you have a hotel in Yerushalayim, you're still safe. Okay. Anyway, that's how the Shil of David also, David Kalin, one of his chuvas, Chelek Erdei Simches, 54. Ain't Sword the Chol Echad Yochel Likbo Atzmol Adur B'Vayish Shal Yerushalayim? Laman the Sword the Lenschach L'Shvotim? I mean, if you're Lashayim, the Lenschach L'Shvotim, I can walk into any house in Yerushalayim. So here I am, it's my house too. Obviously you can't do it. It was Dafka Ole Regalim. So that's another idea, okay? Another idea. That Yerushalayim is yes, this Chalkal Shvatim, except for certain things. You have full ownership. And that might be enough to exclude Erani Dachas and exclude Ergar Rufa, because you have full ownership, but they still had some form of of ownership. Okay. So you can mention that point as well. Now, if you take a look, the question now is why? Why? So we had a Kasha. If you assume Yerushalayim alone is Chalkal Shvatim, so how do you explain that story at the Mizbeach, the Shevet Yehuda and Yom? So we had several different approaches. The approach of Tosus was, no, Yerushalayim alone is Chalkal Shvatim, period. I have a Mizbeach, a special Xeris, not exactly Xeris HaKasu, but some type of divine directive. Or we said that territorial it was in their area, but it was not really theirs. They didn't own it, it was in their territorial area. Or we said that originally it was this Chalkal Shvatim, but then David HaMelech bought it and so on. And then we said in this last teretz is that really nischalkal shvatim, but lo nischalkal shvatim for certain purposes, like giving the older regal a place to stay for free when they came there 3 times a year. You look in Tosim of a comic, Pei Beis and Aleph 56, Dimas for Ein Metame. He says, I understand. Tosim didn't accept that answer at all. Let's remember, Tosim said, no, Yerushalayim lo nischalkal shvatim, period. Okay, I the Mizbeach was a special rule. So he says, the reason he didn't like to say these other Tirutzim, why didn't Tosus give these other Tirutzim? Why didn't Tosus, what was wrong with saying, oh, Yerushalayim is Chalkal Shvatim, but only all the other Tirutzim, right? Territorially, it was Nischalkal Shvatim, or it was Nischalkal Shvatim in general, but not for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Ole Regalim purposes. Or it was Nischalkal Shvatim originally, but then they bought it in the time of Yehuda, of David HaMelech. He doesn't like that answer, says Tosus. Why? 56, V'yesh Lomar, this is Pei Beis, V'yesh Lomar, V'yesh Lomar, V'yesh Lomar, V'yesh HaMikdash, Svorahu, Afal Gav, V'nitzchalek, V'chazur, V'konos, V'kadei She'el, V'chol Yisrael, Chelek Bo. Av Yerushalayim, V'chalko, Lomar, V'chazur, V'konos. I don't understand, says Tosis. If you want to tell me about the Makom HaMikdash, that I understand. We want every Jew to have a Chelek in the Makom HaMikdash. So I would understand, if you hold originally the Chalkal Shvatim, I understand why David HaMelech now collected money from all the Shvatim to purchase the Makom HaMikdash proper, that everybody should have a chelek in. But Yerushalayim, why bother? Why should it be that we have a chelek in Yerushalayim? And Yerushalayim, in Mitchil and Chalkal, Lom Yuchoz Rekodim, with no reason to buy it, what's got to do with anything? Let Yerushalayim be in Yehuda or Binyam, wherever it is. Why would you buy it back? The Makom HaMikdash, I understand, says Tosus, but not Yerushalayim. Get it? So that's why Tosis again, Lashitoso. Well, no, if you're going to say Lo Nischalk L'Shvatim, then it's Lo Nischalk L'Shvatim, period, ever. If he doesn't accept that answer, well, originally was Nischalk L'Shvatim, then David had to buy it. Why? Why did he have to buy Yerushalayim? But that's not what the Rambam said, at least according to Kesher Mishnah. So you could tie this in to the following chokas. Then I've seen this in the Brisker Rav suggests like this. He says, according to the Rambam, Yerushalayim is part of Mikdash. Okay? That's why. If you're a Tosis, I understand why the Mikdash, not Yerushalayim, according to the Rambam, Yerushalayim is part of the Mikdash. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Chav Tesam Beis, we know, not this year, but next year. Next year, Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Yom Tov Shosh Hashanah, Shechol is B'Shabbos, but Mikdash, you're talking about Medina. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're blow shofar, even Rosh Hashanah land on Shabbos. Not in the Medina, not anywhere else. What is Mikdash? What's Medina? Rashi, they are not Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah, Chav Tesam Beis, says in 58, Avalov Medina, Lo Yerushalayim, Lo Gula. They blew shofar only in Yerushalayim, only in the Mikdash, not in Yerushalayim, not anywhere else. The Rambam clear, the Rashi rather clearly lumps Yerushalayim with everything else. But the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah, there in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dal Mishalaf, 359, Kvar Be'arnu Lecha Kamen Pamaki Mikdash Nikreis Yerushalayim Kula. The Rambam says, no, in all of Yerushalayim, they blew shofar on Yerushalayim on Shabbos, not just in the Mikdash. Mikdash includes Yerushalayim. Medina means Shar Eretz Yisrael. And again, you see the same thing in Sukkah. Mem Aleph and Aleph, the Mishnah says, in the base of Mikdash, they waved the Lulav Nesek all 7 days, Midoraisa. But Medina, Yom Echa, only the first day. All right, we do it the whole rest of Sukkot too, as a Zechel Mikdash, but that's why there's certain leniencies in terms of Psulim, of Lulav Nesek, on after day one. You know, if the Pitim breaks, you can use a borrowed Esek, right? Because we're only doing it as Zechel Mikdash. In the Mikdash, you had to take the Lulav Nesek all 7 days of Sukkot. So, what is Mikdash Shiva and Medina Yom Echad? So again, Rashi says, Mikdash Shiva, Mikdash means, Beis HaMikdash, Medina means Yerushalayim, Shafu, Kegulin. Rashi L'Shitoso, Yerushalayim is like the rest of the place. But, okay, the Rambam of the Perish HaMishnah there in Sukkah says also, Paragimel Mishnah Yud, Medina, he shar Eretz Yisrael Chutz Yerushalayim. I printed that too, Ma'aseh Sheni, Paragimel Mishnah Dalad. The Mishnah talks about certain fruits, Ma'aseh Sheni and so on. And the Rambam, sure enough, there says too, and 64 in the Perish HaMishnah, Nikra Kol Mokom Me'ari Eretz Yisrael Chutz Mirushalayim. Medina is everywhere but Yerushalayim. And that's why, again, Yerushalayim is not Metame in the Goyim. And he says, because Yerushalayim, look what the Rambam says in the Perish HaMishnah, in the Goyim, Perik Yud Beis, Mishnah Dalet 66. He says, look at the last words of Yerushalayim, Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim Elei Mokom Avoda Mishutof Lakol. Yerushalayim is a place of worship for everybody. So the Rambam is good, okay? It works out because he posts the objection. Well, why in the world, if you hold Lo Nischalk L'Shvatim, the year it was Nischalk L'Shvatim originally, and then it was bought back, why would you buy back Yerushalayim? Why? Would it have to? No, because according to the Rambam, very good, because Yerushalayim belongs to every Jew, like the Makom Mikdash, because according to him, Yerushalayim is just like an overflow of the Mikdash. He Makom Avoda Mishutof L'Kol. Everybody is a Shutof. Everybody is a partnership in Yerushalayim. So that's a fundamental machlokas. Whether Yerushalayim is an overflow of the Beis HaMikdash or it's not. Okay, and that will impact this, perhaps, this machlok as well. It may also impact something else I want to mention quickly. The Gemara Moed Katan Chav Avav Aman Aleph tells us there's a din, applies still today, you have to tear Kriya when coming to the Ara Yehuda and when coming to Yerushalayim and when coming to the Makom HaMikdash, still today. And there's certain psukim you have to say. I printed the psukim 68 because they come from Yeshaya Perek Samach Dalet. Pasites Ari Kodshach Hayom Midbar. That's what you see, the Ari Yehuda. And then Midbar, Tzion, Midbar, Haris Yerushalayim, Shmoma, that's when you see Yerushalayim. And Pasuk Yud, when you see the Beis HaMakom HaMikdash, Beis Kodshenu, Misifaratenu, Sheluch HaMaseinu, Hoyel HaSefas, Eish HaChomach, Ben HaHoyel HaChomach. The Rambam Paskin this way, Hilchas Tainis, Perek HaLach HaTazayin, Shulchan Aruch Paskin this, in the last Simon, Hilchas Tisha B'Av, which obviously we're coming up to Simon, Tav Kuf, Samach HaLach, Aruchayim, Sigma Aleph, and Beis. You have to tear Kriya to this day. Now, what about Ari Yehuda? So it says, Ari Yehuda v'Churbanam. We don't tear for Ari Yehuda today. Why not? So the Mogan of Ram and Sivkot Nalav there and Simon Tovku, Samach Alav, the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Beis both say, because Churbanam means when it's under non-Jewish sovereignty. Today, Baruch Hashem, Rav Zevin already writes. Rav Zevin writes in one of his works, talking about Tisha B'Av, says that nowadays we don't have to tear for Yerushalayim anymore because it's under Jewish sovereignty. Rav Zevin lived in the 50s and 60s and so on, 70s, okay, and earlier. But he said now it's under Jewish sovereignty. It's interesting. In his Sefer, he writes, when he mentions that point, he says, Ashrei shezochinu l'chach. Fortunate are we that we've seen that. You know, we were zochen to see the Ari Yehuda on the Jewish sovereignty. Unfortunately, in the English translation, they censored out that line. Ashrei shezochinu l'chach. And they were fortunate we saw it. Sounds too Zionistic, I guess, for them. But anyway, the point is that the, that's what Zevin said. So that's the Maharavan and the Shabur. But we still have to tear when seeing the Mokko and Mikdash. Some people have to say you have to see the ground, actually, but the general assumption is you can see the mosque, you know, that's built on the ground that you can tear. I think many people tear. That's what I do. When you come down from the Jewish quarter for the first time in more than 30 days, unless it's Shabbos, obviously. You don't have to. So I usually do it on this, you know, you come down those steps before you make that last left turn, there's that little landing, then you go down then, you know, steps to that, that's where you take Kriya. Okay. So there's a big machlokas. What about Yerushalayim? Should we still tear today in Yerushalayim? On the one hand, it's under Jewish sovereignty, Baruch Hashem. On the other hand, is Yerushalayim an overflow of the Mikdash? So Moshe Feinstein, Paschal, the Netshuva, Orachaim, Chelekes, and Laman Zayin, Rosh Aleph, he says you don't have to tear for Yerushalayim anymore. Okay, even though Makom Mikdash, for sure, yes. But not the, he says, the first, Atash, Bechaste Hashem Yisbar. don't know what they do if they translate this into English. I have to censor that out too. But you're right. V'chas te'ashem v'rach ein mosim ha'umos al ha'ar yadu ha'yushalayim ein gam yushalmu tam godos ha'ol ikro. Of course, I'm not coming to Shidu. Shlomo Zalman disagreed. Minich ha'shlomo chelik alef simen ayin gimel, 74. He disagreed. He said, no, there's still churches and mosques and they still have to tear on Yushalayim. And that's I'm told of Salavetchik. I think also held like they still have to tear, but I think of Salavetchik said because of the Rambam, who says Yerushalayim is an overflow of the Mikdash. That's not Rav Shlomo Zalman's reason, but that's what Rav Salavetchik said in terms of the Rambam. But again, it may depend on his question. Okay, you know, is Yerushalayim an overflow of the Mikdash or not? But I just like to conclude with one thing irrelevant to Tisha B'Av. Again, you know, we focus on Yerushalayim. So Machlokes Yerushalayim is Chalkel Shvatim, Lo Nischalkel Shvatim. We usually assume Lo Nischalkel Shvatim, meaning, at least to some extent, Lo Nischalkel Shvatim, different approaches we had, but it means that every single Jew has a Chelek Yerushalayim. I titled the Shir, the topic of Shir, Yerushalayim, the hometown of every Jew. Everyone feels pride and then nostalgia about the hometown where you grew up, where you live now, you look back, you know, okay, so I'm in Tinek my whole life, oh, Tinek, my hometown. But really, everybody is, hometown is Yerushalayim. In fact, the Gemara Chagiga, the Mishnah says in Chav Vav and Aleph, and the Mishnah, we discussed it in Chagiga, Per Gimel, Chav Vav, that even a non-observant or a person otherwise might not be so careful, but Tumah Tahara is believed when he's in Yerushalayim about that he didn't touch anything that was Tumah and so on. And the Pasuk is in Tehillim, Per Kuf Chav Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Source 80, Yerushalayim, Abnuya, Kirsha Chubro Lo Yachta. And Yerushalayim, so what do you mean, Chubro Lo Yachta? She also calls yourself chaverim. Everybody comes like a chaver, not chaver necessarily friends, but in the sense of reliable in terms of the laws of Tum and Tara. But we can extend that. And so Yerushalayim unites. Yerushalayim unites all Jews. Okay? And that's why everybody has it. We know known as Chalkal Shatim, at least to some extent. We all have some share in Yerushalayim. Doesn't matter what shape we're from. Okay, maybe territorial, it's in Yehuda, and territorial, it's in Binyamin, good. But every Jew, no matter what shevet you're from, no matter what walk of life you're from, you have a connection to Yerushalayim. And that's Shechub Alei Al-Kal. Okay, we all become partners, so to speak, in Yerushalayim. And for that reason, the back source of the page, again, in the famous source, we don't have to read it inside. But the Gemara Brachas, Lamed Amad Aleph, tells us, didn't we all know? Okay, what if you don't know what direction you face when you're davin? So if you don't know, you have to concentrate on you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Fine, you're blind, you don't know where you are. But otherwise, you face towards Yerushalayim. Then it's unless you're in Yerushalayim, you face towards the Beis HaMikdash, fine. But every Jew, and it quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalad, Pasuk Dalad. Okay? Kimigdal David Tzarech, Bonu L'Sal Pios, Tal Pios, it's the name of Yerushalayim today. Bonu L'Sal Pios. What does Sal Pios mean? So the first part of the Gemara quotes all these psukim from Melachim Aleph, Perek Ches, Sukkim Lamed Hey, Mendal, Memches, I printed the Bayama Beis, Perak Vav, Pasuk Lamed Beis, all talk about the tefillah of Shlomo Melech, everyone should daven through this place. But Lamaisa, we all daven towards Yerushalayim. Yeah, it's not always east. From here in America, it's east. That's another question. It goes by the, what do you call it, the circular route, or the crow flies route, whatever it is. But we face east. Mizrach, yeah, from Europe it was Mizrach, but not from Yemen. They don't face Mizrach, okay? And the south, you know, South Africa, they don't face Mizrach. They face toward Yerushalayim. It's tail, shekol pios ponim shom. All mouths, all Jewish hearts and mouths face toward Yerushalayim. And that's the idea. That's a din. The Rambam brings that lahalocha. Hilchas Tefillah, Perakei Halacha Aleph, 86. It says, shmonas are certain things you're supposed to do when you daven. And not ma'ake, but one of them is nochach hamikdash. Facing towards the mikdash, facing toward Yerushalayim. Shulchan Aruch has it in Siman Tzadi Dalal of Aruchayim Sifala. You have to face Yerushalayim. Unless you're in Yerushalayim, then you face towards the Mikdash. Okay, but everybody faces Yerushalayim. All Jews. And it doesn't make a difference. You're Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Chassidish, Litvish, this, what, Hungarian, Yemenite, whatever you are. Everybody davens together towards Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has that power to unite because it's everybody's hometown. You know, most of us, we daven, if I daven Ashkenaz, most of the time I daven people with people, daven Ashkenaz. And, you know, truth is, we try to gravitate towards people that, you know, more or less think like we do, have similar, you know, ideas that we do. That's who we're comfortable davening with. Yeah, sometimes we'll have to make a mincha, whatever, you're stuck someplace. But, you know, you ever go to the Kol Samar Avi? They're calling you for a minyan, shachar, mincha. You go to a minyan, there'll be three chassidim, two Yemenite guys, and a Litvish yeshiva guy, and some Israeli, right? Oh, doesn't matter, we're all davening together. What difference does it make? You don't ask any kashas. Right? I mean, I've done it many times. When I get there, they're putting together a minion. You look around, it doesn't make a difference. We're all Jews. You know, I never thought about that. Maybe in my own physical hometown, I, you know, probably have a separate shul. Okay, but when you buy the Kol Minyan Yerushalayim, and it's not only true of the Kol, even in Yerushalayim, the Mecha Minyan, you go in the Minyanim, all kinds of different people. Okay, and this is Dominus Lasran and Nusachari, it doesn't matter. Okay, and that's the power of Yerushalayim. We all have that pull toward Yerushalayim. It's the hometown of every Jew. It's the city that unites every Jew. It's Tel Shekol Pios Ponimbo. We all have a shechelik in that. It's not Yehuda, it's not Binyamin. Again, we gave different teretzim, but all of that have that focal point of Yerushalayim. And that's why Yerushalayim is special. And that's, you know, again, we mourn. We still have that today, but we mourn, you know, ultimately the Beis HaMikdash, but we should use the opportunity of the 9 days in Tishrei to think a little bit what Yerushalayim should mean to us. Yerushalayim is the hometown of every Jew. It's Tel Shekol Pios Ponimbo. Every Jewish mouth, every Jewish heart directs to Yerushalayim. Wish everybody a good Shabbos, and people should have a meaningful fast on Tisha B'Av. And Be'ez Hashem will resume in a couple of weeks.